of cream, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, your editor and publisher of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from Florida as well as downtown San Diego. Our special guest today is an entrepreneur and a futurist. Let's say hello to Jay Jamrod, Senior Vice President of Research for I4CP.
Good afternoon. Hi, Ed. Yeah, I'm Jay Jamrock. I'm one of the co-founders of I4CP, a research institute that looks at the trends that are happening in society, and especially around the implications they have for the HR function and the management of talent in organizations. So we do a lot of research, both qualitative and quantitative, with some of the better companies in the world.
Once again, I4CP, that means Institute for Corporate Productivity, I4CP. I understand you have a new report. I'm looking at a summary of it. Beyond Uber, U-B-E-R, or Uber, driving the evolution of work. That's a very timely moniker. So tell us about the report. You know, tell us about the research, about the workplace, the workforce. The very nature of work is changing, right?
Yeah, and you just threw me out a very big question, so let me see if I can answer it a little succinctly. First, by telling you, we originally partnered with John Boudreau from the University of Southern California around his research on the future of work, which has just been published in a book. So we did about 80 interviews of some of the better thought leaders in the HR space, most of them CHROs, about how they're feeling about the future of work, the future of workforce, and the future of the workplace. And what we quickly learned from them is that the employer-employee relationship has changed, and that where in the past the employer seemed to have an upper hand in the labor market, in other words, dictating the terms and conditions of a lot of the work that was done, we're seeing, especially in this war for talent, especially with the top talent, that it's becoming quickly an employee-led evolution, where employees are starting to look for more control and flexibility over where they work, how they work, and what they work on. And so there's a movement about to really change this sort of relationship. And when you think about that 35% about of the workforce today is freelance workers, whether it be contractors, consultants, part-timers, and it's quickly going to go up to 50%, and you think about 50% of your workforce not being your employees, it changes the dynamic a lot in the labor force and how people are managed inside an organization.
What this means, we're talking about a non-traditional workforce. So it sounds like a lot of words, though. So that's a new model for hiring people?
Well, it's always been around with, you know, contingent labor in the hiring houses. So in the past, it's primarily been for temps to fill in, and a lot of times it was focused on lower skilled work. But we're finding that a lot of higher skilled workers today, in other words, what we call top talent, are opting for this kind of lifestyle of a freelancer. And so there are many global kinds of platforms now that you can tap into, like TopCoder, and there's a lot of other ones that you can tap into top talents. What employers are finding is, for example, they are maybe in a hotel chain who wants to have a digital footprint. They want to have the best coders they can to build out their platform, but they're not an employer of choice for that kind of talent, and the top talent wants to go like Silicon Valley. So what a company like a hotel chain could start tapping into is these freelancers. So it's almost like a Hollywood model. You have a project that you have to do. You have a director that brings the talent together, works on the project, and then they go on to other projects. So there's many more highly skilled people becoming freelancers. It was written about years ago, a book by Charles Handy called The Freelance Nation. But it's been very much taking off in the last 5 years. And so many, many more people, because they want more control and flexibility in their lives and in their work lives, are opting for this kind of lifestyle. It's now bleeding over to full-time employees, too, who are also saying, I want to stay as a full-time employee. I don't want to be a freelancer, but I also want more control and flexibility. So could you please customize my relationship with you? And so many more highly skilled people in the war for talent are now becoming the drivers of the employer-employee relationship.
You know what I think of? It sounds like free agency in baseball or in sports, where you need a lawyer to represent you.
You may be, because you may be getting individualized, customized contracts in the future. We haven't heard a lot about that yet, but, you know, you may be right. We may need a talent agent to negotiate contracts for you.
Companies want to have a stable workforce, though. They want, if they have somebody good, they want to retain that talent, don't they?
Yes, that's still going to be the case. So, you know, we're still going to have times and places for needing that full-time talent. So what we're saying in our paper is that companies have got to get a lot better at strategic workforce planning. In other words, and as John Boudreau says, deconstruct the work that has to be done in making strategic decisions on whether I buy that talent, do I build that talent, do I steal it, do I borrow it, or do I rent it? So looking at a project or a job role and deconstructing the work and making decisions on based on what we need in the future, is it a full-time employee? Is it a part-time? Is it a contractor? So do I build it? And all based on your strategy and your business strategy. And so in a lot of cases, you may need to have more full-time workers in some places where there's critical roles, and you need to retain that top talent. But there's other places that you may need top talent, but you may not need it for a long period of time. So it's doing a better job at strategic workforce planning, so you can really think more deeply around the type of talent you need. And it's blurring the boundaries. So it's both inside and outside the organization. So it's blurring the boundaries. It's looking at the work first and then the talent second.
Well, but you have to look at the talent to do the work. But now what you're looking at into your crystal ball, you're seeing the head of HR as sort of a partner with key employees who are partners with the company rather than employees. Is that off the wall?
No, it's not. So what we're suggesting from our interviews that's going to happen or is happening is that the HR will work very closely now with procurement, finance, and the business leader to determine what are the critical roles for the company. And so most of the roles are not. So what's going to be core to business success? What's that critical role? We're not talking about people yet, but what is that role? Then deconstructing that role for the work that has to be done, then deciding what kind of talent you need for that role. And if it's a decision that we need full-time employees, or a mix of that, what does that mean for the company? What does that mean for retention? What does that mean for culture? What does that mean for engagement? What does that mean for a leader who will be leading half the people that will be working are not their employees, or they may work in a different part of the world? So it's changing the whole dynamic in the workplace and how you think about all those basic things.
My thought is, and I'm not an HR professional, but I work with many, whose job is it, engagement? Is it the employee to engage with the company or the company to better engage with that employee, particularly if it's a star player? Whose job is it?
It's the manager's job. That's where it comes down to. But today there's a shift here too. So a lot of the better companies are moving away from annual kinds of engagement surveys to more of a pulse survey. So, and they're including both people inside the organization and outside, and it's moving away from engagement, pure engagement, to more alignment. So I'm more concerned with engagement is important, but I'm more concerned of what they're engaged in. So in this fast-paced world where things change very fast, strategies change very fast, people are moving very fast from project to project, I want to make sure that my critical people are fully aligned to where we're going, not just engaged and happy, but aligned to where the business wants to go. So it's moving now away from annual. It's slowly moving away to more pulse. Some companies are actually taking the pulse of the company daily or monthly. And they're also including contractors, temps, in their engagement surveys or their alignment surveys. So alignment is becoming much more, and our research shows, it drives more of market performance than just engagement only.
Alignment with what, sir?
The business strategy, the project they want to work on, the department strategy. It's aligned to the company so that everybody's working on the same direction, going the same thing. So as they change a strategy fast, are there people, can the people also be more agile and be aligned to that new strategy very fast? There's nothing new with it, but there's a new focus on it, especially if you have this new type of worker arrangement where everybody has sort of a customized relationship. I want to make sure that all those individuals out there are all aligned with me as a CEO to really execute on our strategy.
Let's turn attention for a moment. I apologize, but time is limited, but I want to hit on this idea of social media connectivity in the workplace and also global talent.
Yes.
So with this new world and these new things, what's your view of all that?
Well, it's here. It's not going to go away. It's only going to get stronger. Now, the big challenge is for the leader of people. I'm not talking about the leader of the organization, but a first-line supervisor or mid-level manager who is leading people. They're going to have the new skills that they're going to have are much less business acumen, although business acumen will be like a table stakes. They're going to have better social skills. And the social skills will be on collaboration, influencing, and building trust. Now, the challenge with social media comes in is how does that manager manage people? So most organizations are very matrix. You'll be managing people all over the world, people you'll never meet maybe face-to-face, but you'll see them on, you'll be managing them via social media. You'll have many employees working for you, not your employees. So the ability to collaborate, build collaboration, build trust, and influence people using social media is going to be one of the biggest challenges in this new workforce.
So breaking down work, basically deconstructing, not constructing work, but breaking it apart and seeing who does what better, where, when?
Yep, absolutely. Global enterprise, yeah. And the boundaries will be inside and outside the organization. So who does where in the world? So if you have a big company like 3M or IBM and you got talent all around the world, where is my best talent to work on this, whatever it is? And then where is the best talent outside the organization too if I have to rent it? So there's tons of talent platforms that you've got to be aware of today, and you've got to know where your talent is so you can really tap into it faster. And you don't have to move them anywhere. You use social media to work on the project.
Sounds like HR is actually turning into a consulting organization with learning skills such as relating to people who are very, very different from one another and intergenerationally. And So consultants like that need to teach others the skills of how to communicate, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say they're turning into consultants. I think many of the best HR functions today are really understanding that their true job is how do we help the company make money. It's not their true job is not to fix HR and make a better HR function. Their job is to make the company better at managing talent. And one of the things you're seeing is that the true human resource professional is that manager who leads people. And so the giving that manager all the skills that they need to really manage people better and lead people better. So it's doing better workforce planning and having them think about better workforce planning. You know, the companies do a lot of planning around their finances, around their marketing, around their facility planning. They plan these things out to the nth degree. They've got to plan out their talent the same way. And it's really trying to really focus on what's the business problem and how can we help the company make more money by managing talent better. And that means crossing the boundary of getting beyond just full-time employees as talent.
So I gotta drill down on you now, Jay. Why do you use the word Uber or Uber? Is it that's because it's so much in the news and it means something new and different?
Well, it's an expression of how people today want more control and flexibility of their lives. So it's a little bit of like a gig economy. So the people who work for Uber, is one of the reasons it's so popular is because it gives those drivers control and flexibility over their time, when they spend their time, how they spend their time. And we're seeing this play out in a lot of different ways. Uber is just an Uber example of how they have tapped into this new feeling amongst people wanting more control and flexibility and be able to customize when they work, how they work, and where they work.
Interesting stuff. Tell us about I4CP.
So I4CP is a new old company. So the company that it was originally was a company I ran called the Human Resource Institute, which was a non-for-profit academic-based think tank. I partnered with Kevin Oakes, who's a very prominent entrepreneur, started Click to Learn, merged in with Docent, became SumTotal Systems, and we worked together to raise money to drive I4CP, and Kevin is the CEO. He's already got more business acumen in his little finger than I got in my whole body. So I'm the researcher, and he runs the company, and we're primarily a research organization. So our primary goal is to help our members understand the people issues that will drive market performance. So we do very rigorous research on what is it about talent that will truly drive market performance. And we do rigorous both qualitative and quantitative research. We don't do traditional consulting, although we help all our members with all their problems they want. But we have a vendor-free, consultant-free network of some of the better companies out there. And so our two primary offerings are the research, of course, and we do a lot of research. And then we have a very robust peer-to-peer connection. So we connect people in so they can learn from each other and share their what's working and what's not working. We try to go beyond best practice and try to figure out what's going to be the next practice that will give people a competitive advantage on how they leverage their talent to drive market performance.
Talking with Jay Jamrod, Senior Vice President of Research for I4CP, and go to i4cp.com. Check it out. It's fact-filled and easy to read and very, very impressive stuff. Jay, thanks for being our guest today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com.
Oh, thank you, Ed. I enjoyed it.
This is Ed Cohen, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net, signing off from San Diego, and Jay from Florida. Take care. Be well.
Yes, I think myself, what a wonderful